What was the name of the band?
The Sparker Band.
Sparker. How would you describe the music?
I describe it as kind of a cover band. I think they call them cover bands, where you do popular music and you do your version of it. We did some Elton John and Beatles, and I can't remember.
You know, to spark one up is one way of saying smoking marijuana to light a joint. So was that alluded to in the name of the band, or just having to be?
No, it wasn't. No, and no, by no means. The name came from Mas Prio Hartono, and this was back in Skymont in Virginia, in the Subud commune back in Skymont, when Mas Prio lived there. And the band basically started there. Most of the guys were from there. I was in New York, and the Rowe brothers, Mahmoud and Lucas, were in Vermont. And the other three were in Skymont. And Mas Prio was there, and he was a big influence on everybody while he was living there. And he told people that they should follow their natural talents. And there was a lot of music going on there. Sparker Band was kind of the B band there. There was another group called the Skymonters that had Hamid Camp and some really good musicians in it.
So you've been active in Subud Greater Seattle for 38 years then?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I've been a treasurer twice. I've been the chairman. I've been a helper. I've been a regional helper. And I'm saying all this because right now I've just been selected as the vice chairman, and I'm having a terrible time because the whole world seems to have changed so much, and I really feel like it would be really good if they could find a younger person or somebody with more energy, and you know, I'm not mad at anybody, but it would be really good if they got somebody else.
But you know, the interesting thing, someone who's been here for 38 years, right, and knows the early history and has something that's so valuable to an organization, and that's institutional memory. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know what happened here, what the struggles were. This house has been maintained by this group for 40 years. And right now it's in a real beautiful state. I mean, yeah, there could be some handicapped access, and yeah, it could be a little cooler upstairs on a day like today. Mm-hmm. And on a lot of days, it could feel warmer, because I know people who come do Latihan in the wintertime and they don't come back because it's so cold. Yeah. One guy who lives in Florida, whose name we won't mention. Uh-huh. But that institutional memory, I mean, you could tell stories. And what I'd like to get is some sense of the stories of the early days, but I also want some sense of what Subud has meant to you and how it's changed your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like you, whether I've been here longer or not, I'm also impressed with the way this house has been maintained. It was maintained right along from the time we got here, which, as you've just pointed out to me, was only a year before we got here it was purchased. So we were here in the beginning, and it didn't look as nice as it does now. And I'm just thinking now, while we're talking, that the people who have maintained it have changed, because a lot of them are gone. The Krauses were really important. They were an older couple that was very conscientious and very energetic, and Lawrence Krauss had a very strong personality, and I think some people sometimes wanted to pull back on him a little bit, but I don't think that would have happened. But if it had, it would have meant there was just less would have been accomplished, because he was he was really a powerhouse. I liked him a lot. We might have to eradicate some of this, but in the 90s, I kind of effectively dropped out for about 10 years. And I got very, very seriously, I don't talk about this because people don't want to hear about it, and it's personal. It's just my thing. I don't think it belongs in here. But anyway, I just got involved in Christianity, and I was very, very serious about it, to the extent that I'm still serious about it, and I kind of feel apologetic for all of the Christians that behave in such a way that it turns other people off. And
that's a really interesting line of questioning here, because some candidates come in and, you know, they see that there's a connection with Islam and they get turned off, I've been a helper since that's mm-hmm. happened on at least one occasion. Mm-hmm. So for you to speak to how your own Christianity and the Latihan work together, I think would be of great interest to Subud people around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the Latihan, you have a prescribed time, the group Latihan, that you come in and you quiet yourself and you begin the exercise with other people, and you, as to the utmost of your ability, you surrender all what the world is inflicting on you at that moment, at that day, at that time.
Are you surrendering to the Father of Christ? Or is that one way of describing who or what you're surrendering to?
Well, yeah, that would be one way. I don't think I think of it that way. I just think of him as Almighty God. And I have at times felt like Jesus is in this with me. You know, I don't call on him when I come to the Latihan. It's not him that I'm praying to. But anyway, I was going to contrast the Latihan with if I have any exercise that I do as a Christian, it's just simply prayer. And I kind of have set times, you know, morning and evening. And a lot of times I skip it or I'm too tired. But it's morning and evening, and then there are other times where it just comes up. And you pray, but the common element is surrender. When you're praying to God or surrendering to God, it's been really helpful to me to have been given, I guess I would call it an epiphany, that I have to be aware of who it is I'm praying to. Or it's just words, you know. I mean, if we're praying to the God of the universe, well, I like to stop at least for a few seconds and think about who that is. I had a wonderful thought the other day. It just gave me strength for a long time. I thought about how fast things are evolving and changing in our lives, you know. And I'm getting to an age where it's really hard for me to keep up with current developments. I was thinking about how everything evolves. I thought about jazz music, which I love. I just thought about how it began, how it evolved, how it changed. And then I realized God doesn't evolve. God doesn't change. Somewhere in the Bible it says, it applies it to Jesus, I think it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And you can say that about God. When I realize I'm praying to my Father in heaven, who has always been the same, he can't grow. He can't get smaller. He can't change his mind about you. He doesn't do that. He's just always the same.
But we can grow closer to him.
Yeah. Yeah, be a good idea.
How has the Latihan helped you to do that?
You know, the help of the Latihan has been going on for so long that I don't think I can really define it in words. It's kind of like at first it was something new and it was kind of exciting, and I liked the people in spite of what I said about my first visit. And I got pretty active in it right away, and my wife did too, my late wife. And so it was really exciting, and it was just the habit of not missing Latihans, of coming to hundreds upon hundreds of Latihans. And when I look back after a few years, I realize the kind of life I was living before I started the Latihan. And it wasn't a life of a criminal or a total wastrel, but I really wasn't going anywhere. And when I got to the Latihan, I just calmed down inside and started taking life a little more seriously.